There's a rising tide of new HIV infections in Florida. In 2013, the Sunshine State ranked first nationally in the number of new infections. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at BayCareEvents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Kirsten Cooper. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Florida had more new HIV cases in 2013 than anywhere else in the nation. 5,377 patients were diagnosed. All six major metropolitan areas, including Tampa, Orlando, and Miami-Dade, reported more cases of HIV than many whole states. Our statewide health reporting project, Health News Florida, is bringing you the stories of the people in this rising tide of HIV infection. Health News Florida editor Mary Shedden joins me now. Mary, two questions. Who and why?
There are a lot of different people being infected with HIV today, and I think that's one of the major misconceptions is everyone thinks HIV happens to someone else. It's usually someone, men who are having sex with men, and HIV drug users. That is still about half of the group. But what we found is that a lot of different communities are being impacted by HIV infection. That ranges from folks who are 50 plus. That counts for more than 20% of the new infections. It includes youth who are 13 to 24. That is an enormous group that never knew about HIV and AIDS when it began in the 80s. They weren't even alive then.
But those could describe folks in any metro area in the nation. Why Florida particularly?
Well, I think Florida is unique in a couple of ways. One, we're the third largest state in the country. And so by population, we're going to have that. But also the aging population are folks who probably, if they're infected, they're not getting tested and they're not realizing it. That may be one reason.
That's one thing about HIV is that most patients look perfectly healthy. They look fine. No outward appearance of any disease. They look fine.
Right. And that's one of the key things is HIV today, if you're infected and it's identified early, you can really deal with the chronic disease as opposed to the terminal condition that folks associate with AIDS back in the 1980s when it really became known across the country.
And that's sort of a double-edged sword, isn't it? I mean, it used to be a death sentence, but now since the 90s, as you said, drugs have allowed patients to manage it. So doesn't that turn some patients into invincibles where they say, well, you know, what's the big deal? I'll take some drugs and then take my chances with unprotected sex.
Exactly. And one of the key drugs that is helping a lot of people who are living with HIV is something called PrEP and PEP. And this drug, if taken regularly, is a very real option in keeping the HIV at bay. However, a lot of people think it's, oh, I'll just take a pill once in a while. No, you have to adhere to the drug regularly and diligently, and it's expensive. So it may not be an option for some people. Researchers who thought that these drugs were going to be the great answer are really finding out that there are a lot of consequences and a lot of education that needs to be done.
Now, one other thing, we have been bombarded with safe sex messages for decades. Does anyone even listen to them anymore?
I think that the messages need to be probably tweaked a little. It isn't as easy as, to use a phrase from drugs, just say no. In terms of the different populations, I think that the issue of protected sexual intercourse really needs to be dealt with in different ways. Talking to a 60-year-old about safe sex is very different than talking to a 13-year-old, but the message is very much the same in all the cases. It's if you have unprotected sex, you are going to be at risk for HIV and other sexually transmitted diseases.
Health News Florida will take a much deeper look at all these questions and many others in the series HIV in Florida, The Rising Tide of Infections. Mary Shedden with Health News Florida, thanks.
Thank you.
The Floridians being diagnosed with HIV are young and old. 44% of Floridians with HIV are 50 or older. As Lottie Watts with Health News Florida reports, a prevention effort aimed at seniors is being led by one 85-year-old in Broward County.
If you're talking about seniors and sex, you have to talk to Kate Jaminer.
I'm also known as Dr. Truth, the condom lady.
She lives in Broward County and spends a lot of her time at senior centers, nursing homes, and assisted living facilities.
And I ask the seniors, how old do you think you are when you stop thinking about sex? And they all say, when you're dead. So, and they'll say things like when the casket's closed or something like that.
In 2013, the New England Journal of Medicine published a study on sex and seniors. It showed more than half of people ages 64 to 75 reported having sex in the previous year.
I have people on the staffs at different kinds of facilities, and they say, that doesn't happen here. Well, I tell them, take a walk around the hallways around 10 or 11 o'clock tonight and see what's happening.
As with anyone who's sexually active, they're at risk of getting sexually transmitted infections and HIV. In Florida, 44% of people with HIV are over age 50. That's slightly more than the national average. And Jaminer says the numbers might be even higher.
Because a lot of the seniors aren't getting tested. And I tell the seniors that they should all be tested on a regular basis.
When those tests are done and the results show HIV, that's when the work starts at county health departments across Florida.
It used to be before just finding and notifying and finding partners, but we're really, really moving to linkage to care.
Jennifer Vieira's job is to track down patients in Hillsborough County who have been newly diagnosed with HIV.
People that stay in care, they tend to make more responsible choices, and they tend to not transmit as much, things like that. So linkage to care is extremely important.
One of the patients she's trying to find has recently moved to Tampa. He's in his 60s. She can't talk about HIV over the phone, but in the car, she tries calling ahead to see if he's home.
My name is Jennifer. I'm calling from the Department of Health. I just had to talk to him for a few minutes. Is it okay if I stop by?
She heads over, and in the patient's living room, Vieira asks him questions about his doctors and if he's taking his medications. He says yes, he's taking his medicine every day.
You know, now look at me. I look like no HIV, but I got HIV. Huh? I don't look like, but I got it.
HIV information is extremely confidential, so the health department requested that we not share the name of the patient. He says he's had HIV for more than 20 years.
Right now, you know, right now I feel good, you know. Sometimes I got like a little depression because I got a depression for a long time, you know, stress, you know. But right now, you know, I feel better. I feel good, you know?
Back in the car, Vieira says she will call the patient's doctor to follow up and make sure he's getting the right care. She says it's obvious to her that he has his HIV very well under control.
And now he's battling things that a lot of people in their 60s are battling: high cholesterol, diabetes, arthritis. So he can almost live a semi-normal life.
According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, about three-quarters of seniors are dealing with those types of chronic health conditions. It's another point that Kate Jaminer, South Florida's condom lady, uses to get through to seniors.
I tell people at my presentations that you might not be able to prevent diabetes, heart trouble, cancer, etc., but you can prevent HIV and other STIs.
She emphasizes that abstinence is the only way to protect yourself completely. As her nickname probably gives away, she urges people to use condoms.
It's important to negotiate in a neutral, non-sexual situation. Don't wait until you're hot to trot to negotiate.
She says people at her presentations tell her they're too embarrassed to take the free condom she offers.
So my reply to that is that I have sat next to beds of people dying from AIDS, and that it's not pretty and it doesn't even smell good. So don't be embarrassed.
Jaminer says other seniors resist using condoms because they're not worried about pregnancy or they don't think they can get anything.
They have the thought, just like teenagers do, it can't happen to me.
But it is happening. Florida is leading the country in new HIV infections. For Health News Florida, I'm Lottie Watts.
Gay men flocked to San Francisco and New York in the 1980s and moved to gay neighborhoods. It was a way for a sexual minority to meet one another. Now the gay neighborhood has moved online, and young men are finding hookups with a click of an app. But that comes with a risk. Young gay men are the most likely group to contract HIV in Florida. Abe Abariah with Health News Florida brings us the stories of teenagers who are living with HIV.
Each year in Jacksonville, a nonprofit called Jasmine hosts prom. Courtney Armani Devinier was crowned queen of this prom for LGBT youth. She takes out her cell phone to show selfies of her prom dresses.
So, I mean, I had a couple outfit changes at prom. I guess I had to have my performance outfit, so I had to have my walk around, I had to have my entrance outfit. I have to be on point for prom.
Devinier is a transgender teen and 18 years old. Devinier is not her born name, it's the name she's chosen as a woman. She's wearing a navy blue dress, gold wedge sandals, and gold-toned eyeshadow. On her wrist is a black band that says Speak Out. It's part of a campaign to get people talking about HIV.
How long have you known that you're HIV positive?
I've been positive since September of 2014.
Like many transgender youth, Devinier left home as a teen. A boyfriend pushed her into sex work for about a year and a half.
I was at gunpoint before. I've been robbed.
But it wasn't sex work that exposed Devinier to HIV. She says she was infected after she got out, back on her feet, and reunited with her parents. Another unfaithful boyfriend is to blame. When Devinier got a positive HIV result, she already was active in Jasmine, the group that put on the prom. Still, the diagnosis sent her off the grid for months.
With the pressure of Jasmine is being on me constantly, constantly, constantly. Courtney, where are you? We miss you. We need to talk to you. Just that welcoming energy that I was getting from it gave me the courage to even come back up there.
Devinier wasn't yet 18 when she started taking multiple drugs to treat her HIV. She hadn't told her parents, and Jasmine's staff drove her to and from appointments at local health clinics. Emily Rokosh is Jasmine's director of operations. She says there are 400 youth enrolled in Jasmine programs, and right now, about 40 of them are HIV positive.
So every Thursday, young people can come here and they can have access to free HIV testing and STI testing and treatment.
That access is critical. In Florida, roughly 15% of all new HIV infections happen to people who haven't hit their 25th birthday. 2 hours south of Jacksonville's Jasmine House, a place called Hope and Help provides similar support for teens facing a life of HIV infection.
My name is Lamont, 19 years old. I've been HIV positive since March 13th of 2015.
Lamont isn't his real name, and his voice is disguised as well. Family members don't know he's gay or that he has HIV. Like Devinier, Lamont contracted HIV from an unfaithful partner. He was 17, the boyfriend 24. The couple met online on a site called BCG Live. They stopped using condoms when they got serious. Lamont says he ignored signs, and Lamont discovered his boyfriend was using an app called Jacked. It connects gay men and shows profiles by proximity. It took him 5 months to shake the fear of getting an HIV test. He says he was calm when he got the diagnosis, but he drove away from the center thinking of suicide.
I really thought about just going up there at a high rate of speed and trying to flip my car over. You know, I had to really come to my senses.
He says he's seen 5 people who died from HIV complications in the last 4 years. Some refused to get tested, others never got treatment, scared of what their peers would think.
It's just very sad. I don't wish it on anyone. That's why I really wish people would just wrap it up, talk about it. Knowledge is power.
Lamont is working on getting an apartment, and he wants to find a happy, faithful relationship. He's talking to someone now. Just talk so far, but Lamont is really into this guy. He just doesn't know how to bring up that he's HIV positive. For Health News Florida, I'm Abe Abariah in Orlando.
Coming up,
It's interesting how little relevance people see related to it anymore. I was telling somebody recently that I work with kids who are HIV positive, and they were just like, really? Are there very many of those? I didn't think HIV was a big deal anymore. And I was just astounded by that response.
We have more on the rising tide of HIV at WUSFnews.org. Click on the Florida Matters link. You can join the conversation on our Facebook page or send an email to floridamatters@wusf.org. I'm Kirsten Cooper. This is Florida Matters. I'm Carson Cooper. This is Florida Matters. We're taking a look at the rising tide of HIV in Florida. As Nadej Green with Health News Florida reports, one of the most at-risk groups for HIV infection is transgender women.
Poison Ivy is sitting on a bench in a park in Miami. She came out as a transgender woman to her family in January. And then her grandmother kicked her out of the house.
Yeah, she don't want to see a lot of me transitioning. It's just so hard for her to notice that her grandson, someone that has loved her and cared about her for a very long time, is becoming a woman.
Poison Ivy didn't want to do this interview where she lives now. Some of the friends she moved in with don't know what she does for a living.
I charge usually $160, sometimes to $200 a session, or sometimes an hour.
Poison Ivy is a dominatrix. She's 18 years old. We're not using her real name to protect her identity. She asked us to call her Poison Ivy. She says some of her clients want to have sex. For that, she charges extra. Men offer to pay her a lot more if she'll have sex with them without a condom. But she says she won't do it. She knows the risks.
I don't know if you have HIV. You don't know if I have HIV. So I'd rather have sex with a condom on.
Poison Ivy gets tested regularly. She's negative. But some of her friends are not.
There is about 17 women that I know that have HIV, that are trans women.
Shortly before she got kicked out of her grandmother's house, Poison Ivy decided to use her body for cash. Finding another job hasn't worked out.
Hot Topic, Spencer's.
She's lost count Macy's. Of the number of job applications like she filled out before becoming a dominatrix.
McDonald's, Burger King. It's hard as a trans woman trying to find a job and try to be yourself at this job.
Trans advocates call what Poison Ivy does survival sex work.
It's the ostracism, the prejudice.
Araya Lester is a transgender woman and director of Trans Miami. She says living as a trans woman means a life of discrimination.
It's what leads many trans people to find themselves unemployed and having no way to sustain themselves.
Ariana Lent is the coordinator for transgender services at SunServe, a Broward County nonprofit. And she's a transgender woman who's HIV positive.
Many of my clients, they are girls, they do a sex work.
Sexual contact is the most likely way people get infected with HIV. But sex work is not the only way trans women are contracting HIV. Trans women are twice as likely as the general population to be poor and can't afford many of the procedures they need to complete their transition.
I think was for silicone injections.
Lint believes she became infected with HIV sharing needles while getting underground cosmetic surgeries. She says trans women are also at risk when they share needles for hormones.
We need outreach, we need education, and we need people to be able to go out and do these things.
Dr. Cheryl Zayas treats trans women who are HIV positive. She works at Care Resources, an HIV/AIDS service organization in Miami Beach.
But we can't request the funding for it if we don't know how many there are.
It's estimated that a third of trans women are HIV positive, but no one has clear numbers because transgender people are not really being counted like other communities. Trans women are often incorrectly lumped in with men who have sex with men. Back at the park in Miami, Poison Ivy, the 18-year-old dominatrix, says while she insists clients wear condoms, sometimes men who are paying for sex think they don't have to take no for an answer.
It was in Homestead at like 3 a.m. and my client tried to like basically rape me. Then when I go get my purse to go dump it out, see if I had anything, and my taser was there. So I grabbed my taser, just tased him. He backed up because he was a big man, like a very big man. And I like grabbed my stuff and left.
Poison Ivy says she doesn't want to take these risks. She's working on her certification to become an HIV/AIDS tester.
I think transgender women would be more like safe with me because I know what they're going through and I know their fears.
She thinks more trans women should be hired to work in HIV prevention. In the meantime, though, she says she'll continue to do what she has to get by. For Health News Florida, I'm Nadege Green in Miami.
Thirty years ago, an HIV-positive diagnosis was a death sentence, and gay men and IV drug users were the most likely to get infected. Today, the demographics of infection have changed a lot, and advancements in drug treatment that make HIV a chronic disease have created a new set of problems. For a closer look at these new HIV infections, we turn now to University of South Florida physician Diane Straub. She's been working with HIV and AIDS patients for years. She recently spoke with Health News Florida editor Mary Shedden.
Do you think there are misconceptions about who is getting it or how people are getting it?
I think people feel like you have to be an IV drug user or gay to get it, which certainly those are the highest numbers, but those are certainly not the only ones who get it. And I think there's just, it's interesting how little relevance people see related to it anymore. I was telling somebody recently that I work with kids who are HIV positive, and they were just like, really? Are there very many of those? I didn't think HIV was a big deal anymore. And I was just astounded by that response. So clearly, I think in terms of education, it's become less relevant because people think there's less of it. And it's become less relevant because it's not scary anymore.
The rates of new infection being diagnosed increased about 12% over just the past year. Do you have any sense of why that may be? And what did that message say to you as someone who's been watching?
I think it says that we're not investing in prevention. In other states, there's a lot more effort going into preventing HIV. A lot of states are talking about, let's make it zero. Let's bring the infection rate down to zero. They're really putting a lot of efforts into it. For instance, New York was the number one state before us, and their governor has put a lot of effort into it and money into it. And so there's been needle exchange programs, quite a few different programs that have really attacked HIV transmission rates, and it works. And we have not had that same commitment here in Florida to decreasing the rates of HIV.
In 2013, 428,000 Floridians were tested through the public health departments. That's significantly more than ever before, but 5,377 people were diagnosed with new infections. What do you think are the key reasons why the numbers went up so much and continue to increase?
Well, for one thing, the biggest driver right now in the HIV epidemic is young men who have sex with men. And this generation of YMSMs did not see all of their friends die from AIDS. They think of HIV as a chronic disease. I've given an HIV diagnosis and actually had a kid say, I knew I was going to get it anyway. At least now I don't have to worry about it anymore. So there's a lot of barriers once you get a positive HIV test. You have to disclose to your family, which often means disclosing your identity. And there's a lot of homophobia, which makes that very difficult to do. There's a lot of barriers to getting into the medical system. Once you get into the medical system, you have to actually get the medication. They're very expensive. And then adhering to the medication can be very difficult. So it's a long process from HIV diagnosis to getting virally suppressed. And when you're not virally suppressed, if you're still having sex, you're spreading it to others. So a lot of the emphasis in recent years has been to not just testing, but also getting them treated, because that's where we're going to prevent transmission.
As you said, about half of the new infections are men who have sex with other men. But you're also talking about infections in the transgender community, which faces unique barriers. Infections in the older community, folks who are 50 plus. Is it important to address prevention and education differently in those communities?
Absolutely. I think those messages need to be very different. And they all faced very different obstacles. I mean, you mentioned the transgender community. Oh my goodness, do they face many, many obstacles and so much stigma. And being HIV positive is just one of many. I often say with some of my patients that HIV is the least of their problems. Like, it's not going to be the thing that kills them, because there's so many other things that they're dealing with before they even get to HIV.
In the African American community, many men who are becoming infected and they're not admitting to their other partners, if they have female partners, that they are having sex with other men. That's a powerful stigma in the African-American community. Are there ways to reach that at-risk community, both African-American men and African-American women?
The Department of Health had a program a couple years ago that was called Silence Equals Death, and it particularly addressed the African-American community and was actually really effective because it started to turn around the epidemic in the overall African-American community. Still, Black MSM rates are very, very high, but it was really, really effective in doing that. So I do think that targeted efforts are really helpful. The church is a cornerstone in the African-American community, and as you can imagine, that's a very difficult place to have this conversation. But there have been some really strong and, you know, passionate faith leaders who have stepped out and really tried to address this issue.
Let's talk about people having sex. People of all ages have sex. Why are prevention efforts not working? Is it a malaise that HIV is no longer a terminal illness?
One of the things that I think is problematic is that prevention efforts are siloed. So there's pregnancy prevention, there's STI prevention, and there's HIV prevention. We all want to stop the same thing. We all want to have protected sexual behavior. If you look at the youth risk behavior surveillance data, only 8% of teenage girls are using hormonal contraception and barrier protection consistently when they're sexually active. That's terrible. So obviously, we need to be better at our messaging because most of the efforts are really focused on pregnancy prevention. That seems to be much more socially acceptable to talk about that because nobody wants to talk about STDs because they're dirty and there's stigma. And so nobody wants to talk about those. But we'll talk about pregnancy prevention. And the problem is that we now have contraceptive methods that are pretty effective. And so the addition of a condom doesn't really add quite as much. But we really want to continue that messaging because we also want to prevent them from getting STIs.
Why should everyone get an HIV test?
Because there's so many people who don't know they're infected. For instance, when you look at teenagers and young adults, 60% of young people who are infected don't know they're infected. And you don't have symptoms for quite a while after you get HIV. The onset is usually about a decade before you start getting sick from it. So that's years of exposing your partners to potentially acquiring HIV when you didn't know that you were infected.
And that's it for today's show. For more stories about Floridians who are living with HIV, visit WUSFnews.org and click on the Florida Matters link. Florida Matters is produced by Lottie Watts and is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.